known, and you'll find out in a minute. And but first, we've got a little video which just introduces the theme that we're thinking about. And then a note to Tracy is, as we go through the sermon together, the message together, I'll just say over to you, Tracy, and you'll read the next the passage in Hebrews 11. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And when that is written in the book of Hebrews, guess what happens? The writer goes through lots and lots of stories to explain faith. So this morning, we're going to just take one story. I've told you who it is. It's the story of Joseph. It starts around about Genesis 37. And as I just recap on some of it, I want you, if you've got your cameras on, to put your thumb up if it was good news and a thumb down if it was bad news. And let's just look at the story of Joseph very quickly in a one big bit. Okay. So Joseph is daddy's favourite. Good news, wouldn't you agree? For Joseph anyway. But his brother hates him. Bad news. Daddy makes him a special coat. Oh, good news for Joseph. The brothers rip it off him, beat him up and sell him to slavery. Bad news. Joseph works for Potiphar, the high-ranking Egyptian bishop. Egyptian official. Good news. The Bible tells us that Joseph was good looking. Oh, good news. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. Bad news. Joseph resists her. Good news. She falsely accuses him of rape and he goes to prison. Bad news. And if you think about the story of Joseph, it's lots of ups and downs. Have you been there? Sometimes we're on the mountaintop. Life cannot get any better than this. We are living the dream. And then suddenly the carpet can be pulled out from under our feet and things fall apart. Joseph's story gives us a guide as to how we can or should respond in these situations when our lives go up and down, good and bad. And so we're going to explore this together and Tracy's going to read bits of the Bible as we go through. So first up, Tracy, we've got Genesis 37, 3-4.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him.
Do you know what? This was a very real family. Perhaps a very dysfunctional family, because the brothers are jealous of their younger brother. And guess what? The father's got a favourite. I mean, that just isn't allowed, is it? The father has a favourite and it's the younger son. This is a recipe for disaster. Nothing good can come from this. Tracy.
So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing. And they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it.
So Joseph finds himself stuck at the bottom of an empty, dry, thankfully, cistern. And he's thinking, what has gone wrong? It's really potentially his first faith crisis. And it reminds me that many of us grow up thinking that we should and will be in control of our lives. And we're going to do our best to manipulate and control and make sure that we have got it as we want it. Our life turns out as we plan. So it might be to do with our money. It might be to do with our relationships, our lifestyle, our health, our friendships. We think, yeah, I'm a grown up. I'm going to make sure that things are in control. And Joseph has got to this point in life where everything has gone well for him. He was the favourite child. He had all that he wanted. And then he found himself at the bottom of a cistern, betrayed by his family. Why me? Why is this happening? What have I done to deserve this? And perhaps we've been there. Why my marriage? Why my health? Why my job? Why my child? in these situations when life doesn't turn out as you expected or you wanted it to, many of us, and sometimes I recognize this, we make the conclusion, oh, God's abandoned me. He's not with me anymore. Or he's forgotten. He's forgotten to care about me. And so in these circumstances, faith is recognizing that God is most powerfully present, even when he seems so absent in your life. If God is there, why can't I see him, feel him? Why doesn't he do something? Well, let's listen to Genesis 39:1-2.
Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master.
So, beautiful verse there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And the word prospered there means thrived. He succeeded in a healthy way. It's not talking about money. The Lord was with Joseph. And you say, well, really? He's just been beaten up. He's, you know, they want him dead, his brothers. He's dumped in an empty cistern. He's then sold, but not, well, sold as a slave. And you can imagine what slavery was going to be for him. But it says that's when God was with him. The problem with a story like Joseph and things like this, this teaching, some messes about a bit because we think, oh my goodness, but where's our theology? Where's our faith? Many of us live with the faith that, you know, if God's with you, things will be well. Some churches even teach that. You know, you'll pass your exams. You'll succeed in your job. You'll marry the boy or the girl of your dreams. You'll know financial prosperity. All will be well if you know God. But that's not what the Bible teaches us about God. That's not what the Bible teaches. And Joseph's response, he acts as if at all times God is with him because he's confident of God's presence with him, whether he's in an up or whether he's in a down. Genesis 39:6-9.
So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?"
Yes. How can I betray my God, he says. How can I do something like that? How can I violate or abuse or sin against God? Even this God that actually at the moment hasn't done an awful lot for Joseph up until this point. And it's that thing of trying to stay faithful to God, even if you think things have been too tough on you. And that's where it gets difficult. Why stay the course when it doesn't seem to be working? Why stay faithful when you didn't save your marriage? Why stay faithful when you got very ill? Why stay faithful when your prayers just seem to be hitting a brick wall and not being answered? And this is where we have to stay faithful to God. That is faith, and that is what we see in Joseph. He stays faithful, even in that situation. Genesis 39:10-14.
And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed."
Oh, he screamed. She screamed. And when his master heard his wife's story, he was furious. And he threw him into jail. And the king's prisoners locked him up. So Joseph is framed. He's sent to prison for the very thing he had the integrity not to do. He's innocent. And that is so wrong, isn't it? It's not fair and it's not right. What kind of God would allow Joseph to get back into a prison situation? Why should he have gone there? All he had done was try and obey and honour his God. He's done everything. Sometimes we think, we've done everything. I've been so faithful. Do you know the hoops I jumped through for you, Lord? Do you know how hard I served you in the church? Do you know when I was teased and laughed at by my friends as I spoke up for you? And sometimes I think our motives aren't quite right. We do these things because we want some sort of payback. We want some sort of protection from the bad things that go on. And our faith can be based on, if we do the right thing, Lord, you'll show up and you'll do what we want you to do and expect you to do. But the Bible tells us God is not like that. Joseph is in prison. Joseph could have said, you know, oh, if God doesn't give me one more thing or do one more thing for me, he realizes, Joseph, that he still owes him everything. He won't betray, he will honour and obey him. And I think that's an amazing testimony of Joseph. And that he did that without the help of a church community. He didn't have all the scripture that we have got. He didn't have the opportunity to go on YouTube and be blessed from other people teaching, even in lockdown. He just had a very positive faith and a very positive experience, even in those tough times. It's not about what God gives us or what he does for us. It's about God. It's faith, even in the darkness of a prison. Of being obedient, even when we don't have the feelings. Worshipping God, even when we're not being given what we desperately want. So you might remember from Genesis 40 that Joseph is in the prison and he makes two friends. He makes friends with a cupbearer and a baker. And they're having these dreams and Joseph can interpret their dreams for them. It's one of the gifts that God has given him. And the baker, well, it's not good news for the baker. He was killed. But the cupbearer was given brilliant news. And in 3 days, he's set free from prison. Oh my goodness, Joseph is over the moon with this because this is now his way out. Because the cupbearer will tell Potiphar that he is innocent and he will be able to get out of this prison sentence. We come to Genesis 40, verses 14 to 15.
But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon.
Does that sound familiar? Just one favor, asked Joseph. Just one favor. Will you remember me to Potiphar? Will you remember me to Pharaoh? Get me out of this situation. And I think sometimes, in my walk of faith, I've prayed that prayer. Just one thing, God, could you just do that one thing? Because I know you've got the power. Yeah. Oh, just that one thing, Lord, my addiction to sugar. Come on, help me with that. Oh, Lord, just one thing. I'm asking you to just help me with sorting out my finances or help me heal my child. Just this one thing. And we pray for that miracle. And we believe God can do that miracle. And we pray for that one miracle that we know God can do. And we plead with him to make it better. And we think that maybe it's our own lack of faith that's stopping us. Just this one more thing, we think. But to remember, we have just come through Easter. Faith in God didn't even stop Jesus going to the cross. It's not about faith, it's about God. Genesis 40, 23.
The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him.
That is gutting. After everything Joseph had done, it's one thing he asked for. It didn't happen. God didn't come through and sort it out. The cupbearer forgot all about Joseph. And these moments, they haunt us. Oh, God, you could have done something, but you chose not to. Why? You could have rescued me. You could have rescued that person from the horrific ordeal. Why didn't you act? These questions can haunt us, but it depends on where your faith is and what your faith is based on. This is the heart of Joseph's story. I really hope I nailed it home today, because I believe that our faith is based on God, his identity, who he is, much more so than his activity, what God does. It's about worship of God and who he is. In James 4:8 it says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. And Joseph somehow learnt this incredible lesson. And so despite these knocks and these disappointments and these trials and these times of being a slave or being in prison, he stayed faithful, not because of what was going on around him, but faithful to his God. So I can't answer the question, why are you going through difficult times right now? I don't know. How long will they last? I can't answer that. How will things turn out? In all honesty, in human terms, we don't know. But do you know what? How we respond in these difficult situations as we come out of lockdown and as we share our faith with our friends and our neighbours and our colleagues, and they come to us with questions that are beyond us, we can say, we don't know, we don't understand, but we believe God is God and he is with us through these times. He is with you. He will maybe not act in a way that you expect or predict, because he is God and he is good, and that is faith. And how you respond will make a bigger difference than you or I will ever know. So I go back to where I began. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize this morning that we are pilgrims on a journey. We are following you into the unknown. And for some people at church here this morning, we're feeling disappointed. We're feeling let down. Lord, sometimes you feel so distant. And we're struggling to say that you're with me and you're good. But we come to you honestly this morning. And we just ask that you will help our faith grow in who you are. You are the God of all things, the beginning and the end. We are swept up into this story, not just of Joseph, not just of Jesus, not just of the early church. We are swept up in this story even now. out in 21st century UK. And Lord, we just ask that as our lives perhaps open up a bit more through April, May and June, that you will help us. You will help us have those deep wells of faith. Those deep wells that will be attractive to people that are struggling in our community. That we will know in us and between us the faith which passes understanding, the peace which passes understanding, the hope which passes understanding, because we want to worship and be faithful and obedient and glorifying to you, our God. And we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.